Face it, someone in the CIA who's commanded wars around the world has sent people off to die, which, you know, which is the ultimate ego trip for a Pentagon type of person. Is the ultimate power that a human being can have is to send other humans off to die. Not sentence one individual to the gas chamber, but send 5,000 off to die.
When your army approaches my castle, they see the decapitated heads of my enemies. Stab the hangers from every branch and every tree. The destiny of truth is to be hidden. Yet the truth is right in front of your eyes, it's written. Rituals of the forbidden, nerve herders, cast spells during black metal church murders, Virgil burners, beware virgin murderers, perverted ones, inverted nuns, formal surgical drugs, an orgy of the damned in the church of love, a thunderclap comparable to the burst of guns, get your f***ing face off, body inertia pulse, vertical, burn a blow, vertigo, hollow tips insertable, your head open like a convertible, a cross between Charles Bronson and Fred Williamson. With me, car bombings and dead stick-up kids. The devil feast upon the souls of cowards. All fine like golden showers and exploded towers. Listen, stumbled to enter the tunnel with didn't see light.
Machine gun towing Levi's.
Suicidal Sudis exploded Shiites.
The holy man sworn he seen Christ.
And yet he still prayed for take his enemy's life. Yo, stumbled to enter the tunnel with didn't see light.
Machine gun towing Levi's.
Suicidal Sudis exploded Shiites.
The holy man sworn he seen Christ.
And yet he still prayed for take his enemy's life.
Who built the pyramids in Georgia? Malachi York and they extort them. They took the fucking facts and they distort them. I'm the fucking horseman. I draw a line in the sand. Another order of the Sufis out of Sudan. Yeah, that doesn't mean that I'm an honorable man. It mean that understanding understood and I understand. Yeah, have understanding of Leviathan plan. Have understanding of the dying of man. Y'all gonna push the God, make him turn into a goon. Have me turning into Abraham and worshiping the moon. Put a spell on your son, curse him in the womb. Go to hell with the nuns, they perverted too. Right, yeah, it's only mathematics spent. I speak ancient Greek and Galilean Arabic. I read the revised Quran, circle 7. The God degree inside me and my brethren, yeah.
Stumbled to enter the tunnel with DNC light.
Machine gun towing Levi's.
Suicidal Sudis exploded Shiites.
The holy man swore he seen Christ.
And yet he still prayed for take his enemy's life. Yo, stumbled to enter the tunnel with DNC light.
Machine gun towing Levi's.
Suicidal Sudis exploded Shiites.
The holy man swore he seen Christ.
And yet he still prayed for take his enemy's life.
Back in October of 2012, a woman by the name of Charlene Simon in Toronto was driving her SUV at around 1:30 in the morning when she struck a group of teenagers riding their bicycles, killing one of them, a teenage boy by the name of Brandon Majewski. Now, after that happened, of course, the family was devastated about it. One of the other teenagers was in the hospital for quite some time, facing serious injuries, but he's okay now. The other teenager got away with only a few scrapes. But even though this family lost their son, they are now facing a lawsuit from the woman who struck their son and killed him. Now, to give you a better idea of how this accident happened, according to the Toronto Sun, Brandon was struck from behind by an SUV and killed while his friend Richard McLean, 16, was seriously injured with a broken pelvis and other bones. His other pal, Jake Roberts, also 16, was knocked off his bike but sustained only scratches. So now, why is the family facing a lawsuit after this tragic thing happened to them? Well, Charlene Simon, 42, is suing the dead boy for the emotional trauma she says she has suffered. She's also suing two other boys, as well as the dead boy's parents, and even his brother, who has since died. She's also suing the county of Simcoe for failing to maintain the road. Now, this was a rural road. It was a two-way lane, or two-way road, I should say. And again, it was very, very late at night. It was at 1:30 in the morning. The boys were going out to get a bite to eat. And she's not facing any charges whatsoever. So it's interesting to see that she doesn't have to worry about any type of legal actions against her. But she's going ahead and she's suing this family after something so tragic happened to them.
Yeah. And look, so she, like you said, she's not facing any charges. Like, sometimes terrible things happen and it's not criminal. Like, she wasn't trying to kill them. She wasn't drunk. As far as we know, the police say there was no evidence of alcohol or anything like that. And there could be a case, as I said in the meeting, a sort of devil's advocate position, that you could be driving and someone could cut in front of you and you hit them, but it's still their fault. And conceivably, you could have emotional distress. But in this case, she's just trying to get something out of it. And the thing is, it's crazy, but like when something terrible happens that you do, that doesn't stop you from seeing the world from your point of view. And she doesn't see the emotional trauma that the family's going through. Like, she has her sort of fake BS trauma. And maybe she is haunted by the fact that she killed a person. She should be. But they have it much worse, and she can't see that because she's so wrapped up in her own experience.
There's a lack of empathy in this case, and it's kind of astonishing to me that she doesn't see that this family is mourning, they're grieving. I mean, just
and
to give you...
And has lost another child.
I love that you mentioned that, because that's another twist to this story that's so difficult to read about. They have a 23-year-old son who actually died of a drug and alcohol overdose after their younger son was killed in this accident. And they're saying that it's not suicide, but that, you know, their older son was trying to deal or cope with the loss of his brother. And so you know that this family has now lost two of their sons, and you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm facing trauma in my life and emotional distress, so I'm going to sue. And by the way, the lawsuit is for $1.35 million.
Well, I mean, there's already a lawsuit that says here, a routine lawsuit filed by, I guess, lawyers representing the victim's family against the woman, because they say she was driving too fast. She may have been intoxicated, even though the police say no evidence of that, and that she did not take a breathalyzer, though.
She did not.
They should always do that.
That she was driving too fast, and then she may have been talking on her cell phone. Who knows, right, what happened? Either way, she says she didn't see the reflectors on the... But, I mean, at least in America, this is in Canada, but, I mean, if there's a suit and a countersuit, eventually they can merge them together, and we can find out what happens. And a reasonable jury may well come out of that and go, okay, we've heard everything. You, the woman driving, you pay the families $1.3 million and you cover their legal costs. That is a totally possible outcome to this. So she can sue all she wants. She's putting them through unreasonable emotional distress, and she's a terrible person.
And
she's a killer. And she destroyed a whole family, and she has no goddamn sense. And she's a mother of three, and she, you know, I feel bad for her kids because they're improperly cared for by this brutally foolish, ignorant woman. And I hope she gets hammered at trial, and I hope she loses everything.
Yeah. Well, she's getting hammered in the press.
Whereas all she had to do was nothing. Mm-hmm. And we might well have thought, what a terrible tragedy that befell all of these people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it might well have been an accident. It may well have not been her fault. But it doesn't sound like it was their fault either. They weren't drunk either. They were just on their bikes. So.
Okay, so in case you guys missed that, I'm going to paraphrase, sum it up. A lady's driving down a rural road. It's only a two-lane road. No sidewalk, apparently. And she didn't see these teenagers, ran them over. One of them died. One of them has serious injuries. And the other one came out with a few scratches. So, yeah. I'm going to let my co-host, Will, you want to take first rap on this?
Well, it goes to the point where we're living in this overly litigious society where people sue over everything. We've had people sue and win in the United States over breaking into someone's house and then they fell on a knife and they successfully won. Then there's people that have broken into people's houses, attempted to rob them. The owner shoots them in self-defense and he's on trial for murder. There's women who have fought back their attackers and rapists and captives, and then they go to jail. But now everybody sues everybody over everything. And you know what? We really like, this is a product of a lot of things, in my opinion, brainwashing, fluoride, just me society looking out for number one. But that's truly disgusting that someone would do that. And it's appalling that someone would do that. I mean, that person obviously is either a narcissist or is heavily mentally has some type of issues going on there, in my opinion.
Okay. I can agree with that to a degree. I'm going to take the unpopular opinion. I'm going to play the other side here.
I always love the devil's advocate. I didn't get to take it. All right.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I can sympathize to the situation because of the way I was raised. Now, I'm going to say it again. Because of the way I was raised. Now, I was in fact raised. I had great parents, harsh parents. Will commented last night saying how I'm one of two people he's known that has read an encyclopedia from A to Z. I spent a lot of time being grounded, not being able to watch television, not being able to go to my friend's house and play. So I spent from, early childhood to mid-teens for entertainment purposes, not to go out of my mind from boredom, reading my encyclopedia from A to Z. And I've told the story to some people, and some females even broke down and cried for me. It's like, you poor thing. I'm like, well, okay. That's an odd reaction, but because I see the purpose of what I went through. Something that was drilled into me as a child by my parents were, respect your elders. Respect your elders. No matter what, you respect your elders. Which is why, till this very day, I've always had older friends. As a young, preteen, I'm at parties with 22, 23-year-olds, got the alcohol, got the women, doing my thing. I've always been a part of that older crowd. Even to this day, I have older friends. My business partners are in their 50s and 60s right now. I am the youngest host on this network at the age of 35. So I have this certain level of maturity. And I'm proud to say that it was because my parents, although my rebellious streak that they did not know about, I took their teachings to heart. Even when I did get into those adult situations, I acted like an adult. Which is why everyone was comfortable with me being around, no matter what they were doing. Now, something that was also drilled into my head was, until I turn 18, they are responsible for my actions. It was drilled into my head, I had better never get into a situation to where they can be sued. My parents drilled that into my head. Don't get any girl pregnant and don't get us sued. Those were two main pillars of my upbringing. And so having common sense, like if I ever came up on a road or a bridge where, it's a rural road, two lanes, and I'm on my bike, I got off my bike and walked into the grass on the side of the road. It was drilled into me not to become a bother or a pain to anybody else. Now, from that perspective, I can see that my parents taught me correctly. Because here we have a lady whom is now a killer, but not by her own design, not by her own fault. Okay, she didn't do anything wrong, but now she's a killer. So I think she's justified from this point of view that I'm speaking about. I think she is justified in her lawsuit.
Well, I will say this. There's a few details that it does depend on, right? First of all, like, where were these kids? Were they in the middle of the road? Where were they in the road, right? Also, it is 1 o'clock in the morning, too. So it's not like it's during the day either. These kids are out late at night. Not that it makes a difference, but, obviously for visibility it does. But if these people are out in the middle of the road, then that happens. And then maybe as a reaction, the media paints her bad, and so she's seeking damages, so she doesn't want to be labeled a murderer for the rest of her life. She wants to be able to get a job. You know what I'm saying? She maybe wants to have these people cease and desist the negative press about them. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot, too, depends on, you know, where these kids were, too. Weirdly enough, I want to know how old they are in the situation. But yeah, I do see what you're saying for sure. And you know what? The media, it would be better served if we could hear directly from the woman herself and see what she has to say about this whole thing.
I agree. But it's something that you cannot avoid, and they're trying to have the media is trying to push up this sympathy for the parents with the dead children. You gotta also pay attention to that. Oh, super tragedy of they already have a dead child from a drug overdose. Well, on the surface, yes, that's a tragedy, but look at it. Continue to look at what was said. Another child dead from drug overdose. Now, that's bad parenting.
Well, maybe not necessarily. You can't necessarily say that, but because I know there's some families where, you know, there's the same parents. One of them turns out to be the best person you ever met in your life, and the other one, you know, not so much. Whatever, but as far as, you know, this woman and this whole situation, they'll make a notice. The media they'll make a big deal about this lady, and I know she's such a D-bag, but did they do a big story when the kid died of an overdose? Did they talk about the opioid problem? Did they talk about Big Pharma and their connections there? Did they talk about Big Oil and the Rockefeller influence on medicine, and you know, the AMA and Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and Jeffrey Epstein's assault on science? No, but there's this woman, then they'll take her down. And I was happy to pile on in your face, lady. Sorry if it was premature.
Well, things can happen to people, sure, but the parenting is the focus here. Now, I'm going to give another personal example in my life. I have an older brother who was my mother's golden child, okay, the golden son, whom had everything bought for him. He never wanted for anything. Spoiled to death. Even spoiled by my great-grandmother. Spoiled, spoiled, spoiled. He's still the family favorite to this day. You know, uncles and cousins, everybody ask about my older brother, even though he spent the majority of his life in prison. Okay? Now, I'm someone whom is a respected member of the community. I have great knowledge and wisdom. I'm an activist. I try to help people. I've never spent a day in prison. But same parents. What was not the same was the parenting. I never got away with anything. If I did get away with something, it was outside the sphere of their purview. But in the house, I never got away with anything. If a teacher had something negative to say about me in school, oh, you better believe I got my butt torn apart. I didn't get anything bought for me. I got hand-me-downs. So, same parents, different parenting. I think they've seen their mistakes with my brother and chose to treat me differently. My father actually told me that, why I'm being treated differently. Because I got held to a different standard. Am I bitter about that? Sometimes I am. I think I would have had the common sense, no matter what, because of my higher intelligence, especially higher than my brother's. But all the same, I'm still grateful because I was held to a different standard. I used to run with some wild boys, and yeah, same boys that would be in the middle of the road at 1 o'clock at night, you know, chucking it. Yeah, if there was a little white strip, little lane on the side of the road, I'd take the risk and ride on that with my bike. But if there wasn't, I chose a different route. Hey guys, I'll see you there maybe 30 minutes, an hour later. Or, you know, but I had the sense to do that because I didn't want to be in a hospital with my parents having to pay a high hospital bill. Because like I said, it was difficult coming from poor black folks to middle class. And, you know, we wanted to stay middle class. So, it's just the difference there. These people had a chance to change their parenting, their parenting regimen from the first child who basically commits suicide from drug overdose at the age of 23 to the next child, which is riding his bike in the middle of a road at 1 o'clock in the morning. They had that opportunity. They should have had that wake-up call. So that's why I'm taking the unpopular opinion here and taking the suing lady's side.
Well, that's a good point. I think that you should necessarily sue. I do want to learn more details, but I guess I missed that they already had their first son die of an overdose. If your first son dies of an overdose and you've got a minor who's out at 1 a.m., that's just inappropriate, you know, like maybe he's just hanging out with his friends riding bikes, but didn't you just already lose a son from an overdose? Letting somebody hang out at 9 o'clock, at 1 a.m., especially that school age or whatever. Shoot, that's me. You know what I'm saying? When you're 18, you can do it too. I don't have no kids, but I'm just hypothetically speaking here. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely bad parenting if you're letting the second guy, you know, out all night. You know, when you've already lost one son to that, you'd think that would be a wake-up call. It's crazy, man. And it's funny, too, because that's what we see for a lot of activists is when something happens, a vaccine or an opioid overdose, then the person becomes an activist. These people have the opposite reaction. They're just like, ah, screw it. This one will be better.
Yeah, you may sound like they're enjoying a Budweiser or Blue Ribbon Pout.
Extra long Marlboro ass that they haven't asked in a trailer park. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. See, now I want to know more about this whole story. I'm going to do an Unsolved Mysteries live video from there, guys. Stay tuned. You'll get an update.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Okay. Reb wants to talk about a book. Okay, Reb is bringing some new material to the table. Let's see what he wants to talk about. Reb, you've got till commercial break. Go ahead.
You're going to want to hear more about from the first team of the Pentagon, Bo Scout Reb. This just happened this week. It's 7 days in May. And what you just said, you read the encyclopedia. I think you read that book. I think you understand. That was a Cold War book. I think it was written in the 50s. Did you read it?
It sounds familiar, yes.
Well, that's what's going on. We got calls. We're getting federal agents. There's a Pentagon. And tonight, 3 months after the installation, and it was a coup d'etat because it wasn't a transfer of power. The other president was removed. He didn't show up for that swearing in. And this leader delivered a speech. It's just the timing is just like 7 days in May, except now it's the Cold War. This is a nation at war.
Reb,
what's going on? So now that you're on, listen to what happened. The people called me, and the lawyer said, all of a sudden, the county after over a year of holding on to Snowball's hit with a baseball bat, they just dropped it. They just vacated. And that was out of nowhere. I hadn't heard from the lawyer in months. They're playing games. And then this other federal agent and another federal agent. This is all in the last 3 days. And something's gearing up. And so I said, and Bubba read the book. You know, he's like you. So he's got Kendall full of books. But that's a Cold War book, 7 days in May. And that's what's coming. We could see this coming. A nation in unrest. They still don't accept this new leader. He's proposing trillions for infrastructure. What the hell is he talking about? They don't know what they're doing here. You know, the border's wide open. So that parallels what they, in the 1950s, with the leader was obviously giving in to the enemy. I don't remember, I don't read, but I heard about it. I think Hollywood made a movie that was, which was more intense, the book or the movie? Are you aware of it?
I'm aware of the book and the movie. I've never read or watched either. I understand the premise of the movie. And to your point and what the point I was going to make and actually pose a question to you and V simultaneously is, and if anybody doesn't know, I'm reading off Wikipedia, 7 Days in May is a political thriller. It's a book and a novel. It's about a military political cabal's planned takeover of the United States government in reaction to the president's negotiation of a disarmament treaty with the Soviet Union. So if you guys are just joining us, that's what's happening. He's using that as kind of a parallel to what's happening in the Biden administration. Now, we do have the interesting anomaly where we had the White House press secretary, the circle back Pataki girl. She had to break and stop talking for a minute because there was a plane flying overhead, but the White House is restricted air. So what's going on there, guys?
Okay.
Go ahead, Rep.
30,000 troops are surrounding the Capitol. Are you seeing the picture now? We don't know why. They don't even know why. And we don't get permission to ask. And remember, this was took to the Joint Chiefs before General Flynn in 2008. And then all of a sudden we get to hear from President Bush 43 calling us outstanding twice from Crawford, Texas. He wrote to us. I showed it to the FBI. Something's in the works here. And we could, and Bubba, who reads, he says, well, she went around for the Cold War. I don't know. Its parallels are really close. Like I said, he probably reads because the novel's more intense than Hollywood. I don't know. I saw she's seen excerpts. She said, not exactly the thriller. But yeah, in 1960, there was a regime change. And then, but that wasn't like this one. Not at all. This one was really a coup d'etat. That's what a lot of people believe. And you have a nation in unrest. It can't wait to start the next demonstration.
Mike,
this is much more instability. And that's
and Mike,
what's
what
going
did you
on.
Think about, Mike, what did you think? Did you see that clip of the circle back lady saying that?
Plane coming, I don't have a television. I'm telling you the truth. We can't. We break them.
Come back here for a sec. Hold on one sec, Rev. Mike, did you see that?
I missed what y'all were referring to.
Did you see the clip of the circle back White House Secretary Jen Psaki? She basically said she was interrupted by an airplane flying over the White House. And to my knowledge, I thought the White House was restricted airspace. What did you see that clip? Do you have any speculation on that?
I heard Reb just say, I did not. I haven't heard any of that. I didn't see that. Is that new?
Oh, yeah.
That came out.
That's what I'm telling you, the last 3 days.
Weird.
I'll send you the clip in a sec. I'll find out. I'm curious what you would have thought, Mike. I like your opinion on a lot of stuff, though.
What happened is we've been getting calls from federal agents now of the military because that's whose jurisdiction we are. Never like this before, and they're really ticked.
It's break time.
You can tell.
Okay, Rev, it's break time. Thank you for that update. We got
to
go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Freak out, yo.
We are back, and given the context of the original report, and now this is an old story, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not doing this as a news sort of thing. I'm doing this as a sort of a societal ills, and we need to look back on history. Now, it's not news, but this is something that we need to look at as a society. Now, there is counter evidence, different articles saying that the lady was, well, she had a couple drinks, may have been reading a text, and sped up and was speeding, basically. And also the wife of a police officer. So,
who was following her at the time? He was following behind her.
You don't say. There's a thin blue line involved.
And the police admitted that she was doing 90 in an 80 kilometer per hour zone, but the lawyer says, according to their research, that he believes it was closer to 103 to 117 kilometers per hour at the time of initial impact. It says they threw the kid that died 114 meters. That's a long way, people.
Whoa!
That's a long way.
Whoa, and is he suing them for emotional damage? What is he even suing them for?
When you first started it and you wanted to play devil's advocate, I'm going either way. One other moral of the story is the Young Turks are garbage. They have no nuance. whatever they say, you could just be a...
That is the whole moral of the story.
You can rest assured they're screwing it up somehow or another. But I got a couple.
I like them about 50% of the time.
Yeah, they'll present a story. You will get some facts. That is true. You may not get a lot of alternative facts, which we all know and love from the Trump administration. But you will get like a very... Jeez, I don't even know if like tilted or pitched or any of those words we use. What's the usual word we use? I'm somehow blanking on the usual word. Spun, biased.
Yes.
You're gonna get
funny because the way I think about it is like the Republicans get some things right. They like ideally small government is good, right? Ideally individual rights are good. They never, you know, act on those. But the left gets right, like, the police brutality and stuff, which is ironic here because knowing the details of this case, they're so anti-police that they are now, you know what I'm saying, not even bringing that up into this scenario. You'd think that they would be all over that, and the police are covering this up.
This is what I'm missing. Was it the husband that was following her?
Yes, according to the story from 3 years later, after the family's lawyer is digging, and so 2017 Toronto Sun story is saying that this is what the lawyer has come to find, and these don't seem to be in dispute that she's a 46-year-old woman followed by her husband, a York regional police officer, heading to their home after having a couple of drinks at a bar, struck the teenagers. Smashed him up, you know, sent him 114 meters. The 16-year-old got the broken pelvis and bones. The other friend escaped with, they were riding three abreast, so I'm assuming that, you know, two of them got hit pretty hard and one of them caught a glancing blow of some kind or another, but she's not dropping the lawsuit, blaming the boys, police made, and then the lawyer's like, the police made several errors, he says. Credible evidence shows they were going way faster than they're even admitting. The police... report says she was going 90 in an 80 kilometer per hour zone.
Listen. If you are the wife of a police officer, and this police officer is following you, you're going to speed.
Right. That's
awesome. You don't have to obey the speeding law.
That's one of those things we know and love about our police officers. Oh, and by the way, an off-duty cop got a gun pulled on him by some wannabe badass here in Austin, and badass effed around, and he found out. The cop shot him up. So... he's dead. And somehow there was a woman in the car, a passenger, but she didn't get hit. So I don't know how any of that works. That's all coming out. But, you know, you don't point a gun at anybody, but apparently, especially not a cop, because you're going to get shot. But, you know, this is Austin, so he's the cop's probably in trouble. But,
you know what the thing is, too? Like, in a way, I hope nobody gets in trouble. If anybody points a gun at anybody, I believe you have the right to shoot them back. The thing, I think the cop might get away with this because, oh, he's an off-duty cop, he has all that other stuff.
Well, he should.
Maybe in Texas it's different, but in other places you do that and you could end up with murder, the murder charge against you. You know what I'm saying?
I would rather him not get in trouble at all. I hate to say it, but as an off-duty police officer...
I don't care if you're on or off-duty. If someone puts a gun into your face like they're about to shoot you, then you have the right to self-defense. That's why even some of these cases, even with the 15-year-old girl,
that's what I'm saying, though. As an off-duty officer, you're not held to the same standards of an on-duty cop. You become a regular citizen when you're off-duty.
Well, you should hear the debate on the KLBJ AM talk radio. This guy Ed Clements is just like, what, dude? I don't know what he smokes before he does the show, but he's spot on, you know, 25 to 40% of the time, and then the rest of the time, I'm like, what's wrong with you? And there's callers calling in, going, well, you know, couldn't, you know, it's the same as, couldn't they have just shot the knife out of her hand? It's like, no, the knife was between the girl about to get stabbed and the cop. I think he did what he had to do there. And in this case, it's a guy road raging because the cop cut him off or something, and they're side by side in their cars, slowly moving still, when this guy apparently just put a gun in his face. Maybe he didn't pull a gun, but I don't know. No one's debating whether the guy really had a gun or not. They're just like, yeah, he had a gun, and the cop, you know, got a gun pulled on him, pointed at him, so he blasted him through the window, I guess, and there's no reason the cop should be in trouble. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice if you could get away with that, but they're like, you know, or get away without shooting somebody, but, you know, the people are just, like, having this debate about it, like, well, I mean, did he have to shoot the guy? The guy thinks he's a badass. He's pulling a gun in traffic. That guy is scum and stupid. And I got a couple other things about stupid people when we finish this about the walking in the
street. Well, okay, but let me interject here. Do we know for a fact that this guy pulled a gun first?
That's what I don't know how we would ever know that. The dude's dead. There's a passenger, though. There's a passenger in the car, and everybody's talking about releasing the body cam. He didn't have a body cam. He was off duty. The body cam is coming from the cops that showed up.
I'm sure you guys have it in Texas. If he was on a major highway, there's cameras all over these highways now.
That's how we know that they were next to each other in the car. So there was a surveillance camera that showed that, like, when it happened, you can see the flashes of the gunfire from the off-duty cop's gun. But I mean, come on, this guy pulled a gun. Oh, poor Andrew Gonzalez or something. You know, oh, and the officer Gutierrez. Oh, it just sounds like some kind. I'm like losing track of who's who. I mean, and this isn't a Hispanic. This is like you got
it's
Schnell.
A family matter.
No, you got a couple of Germans. You got Schnell and Schleil over here, and I'm like, I'm losing track of which one's officer. Is it Schnell or is it Schneil? I don't know. And
are you saying it's a family matter?
No. Maybe there was some intermarriage. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know.
What? Let me say this. I will say about I still think that the officer in the Columbus incident could have deployed the taser. Realize too that some of the reports say that the 15-year-old, and it's still unclear, brought the knife out to defend herself while the police came. She was also autistic and an honor roll student.
Yeah.
And you know what? If that's the case and she's really is trying to defend herself while the cops got there, that doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
But she's chasing down these people on the sidewalk, and she's got backup. Some grown man is kicking some.
Well, if she's autistic, she probably went full retard. Okay,
exactly.
Listen.
So the thing is, and the thing is, the cops, these guys get paid the big bucks, right? So it's a 15-year-old girl. You can't try to at least grab her from behind. You can't, I mean, not even jump in the mix. Just try to grab her from behind or just taser or something.
That's an issue. That's something we already spoke about. And our police officers need to be more men and more women. They need to be able to be superheroes and not hide behind a gun. But really, we don't have that much time. I want Mike to get to his common sense stories and then put our caller on the line because we're about to end the show.
Yeah, real fast. Okay, I grew up in the hood. Lots of people wandering around all night long, you know, various types of people. And for some reason, I don't know what the deal is with the homeless people. I don't care what skin color they have because that does relate to this. But these people wear the darkest, like, they're just drab clothing. I don't know what that is. But in my neighborhood, lots of people with dark skin, and they love to wear the darkest of clothing and walk in the middle of the little neighborhood streets. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you, dude? Like you said, I grew up, my parents, you didn't play in the street, dude. You know what I mean? You don't even get the street is for cars. You stay out of the street. No, you do not walk in the middle. No, you don't ride your bike in the middle of the street. No, you don't go and play on a busy street. These guys, of all ages, and this doesn't just apply to the hood people or homeless people. Go down to the University of Texas campus. I went on field trips there in like fourth grade. We went down to something, one of the museums probably or something like that, see some sights. And I just remember being with my assistant teacher. You know, she was in the car that I was, you know, whatever, carpooling in. And she's telling the driver, she's like, watch out. These, UT students think they own everything over here. And they just walk in the middle of the road, walk right in front. And this is when the campus was still open. So this is a thing. This is a privilege thing. This is not a... this isn't a class thing. This is a... You can have your victim privilege. You can have your elitist privilege. You can have your... I just don't... IDGAF privilege. I don't know where these people come from. Who's raising them? But frankly, you know, these are Darwin Award, you know, nominees, and they're a lot of them probably
get
it. And that's pretty much what I had to say on that. And it's just, it's got to be these parents. They've got to be just out of their minds. They, you know, my little baby, you know, and all that crap. No, my parents were like, no, you ain't playing anything. You know, no, you're not doing that. You know, it was a whole lot of no. You know, there were places we knew we were allowed to go, and everything else was off limits. There wasn't like a, yeah, do what you want, and then, you know, we'll work it out. No, it was like, you belong here. And you will stay here.
Exactly.
And if you leave here, you will be in pain and suffering for a while. Because when we find out what you did, and yes, I have done several stupid, very risky things in my life, but that doesn't excuse my behavior, and it doesn't excuse anybody else that screws up and falls into the Darwin Award winner category.
Right.
There you go.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Nailed it right on. We have so little time left. Let's get a caller on the show. New York, line 3. Go ahead.
Fellas, how's it going, everybody? Scotty from New York.
My man, Scotty.
Hey, so you've been getting my messages, or does someone else in the office pick them up? Your line wasn't working. I sent you an email about a week ago.
You know what? And I've hopped onto these Zoom meetings. It's pretty much...
Oh, I think that's finished. I looked for it tonight. I didn't see it. I dropped out of that a couple of weeks ago. I had to catch up with stuff.
Yeah, I had to drop out of it too, because it just didn't seem like anybody was... it wasn't an open chat. And it wasn't very responsive. It was like a select few people were talking, and that was it. So I have to drop out. I dropped my calling card, and I dropped out.
Yeah, well, it depends what you get. When you never know what you're going to get in there. However, there was a lot of stuff just while I was on the phone. You were talking about, I was still cracking up from the other night when you was all fighting, because that was so much like the Zoom room. But he was right. It is a coup d'etat. That's what happened. And the corporation closed down January 1st, so... they're allowed to keep it secret. They're using the powers of the Patriot Act, and they're using them against these wrongdoers instead of against the people. So they have a right to keep it secret. But you had a question about the fake broadcast, the fake real mic, but it was a real dress and a real wig also. You're not realizing what's going on, huh? With the airplane going over, it's a broadcast. It's fake. Do you know who that is with the red wig and the dress?
I have no idea what's going on. Illuminate me. Talk
take
to me like I'm a little
Zuckerberg
kid. Take
a look at Zuckerberg and then take a look at that woman, okay? That's Zuckerberg.
What
okay?
Are you saying?
So you can't trust what's on. Don't laugh. You shouldn't even have to look at a picture, okay? Michael Jackson
Scott,
is not
you gotta
a
send us some information.
He didn't kill himself. He's still alive, and people have been going after these pedophiles. There's a lot going on. They're allowed to keep it secret. But take a look.
Wait, so what's going on?
He's working
with the White House. I'm new to all this. Tell me what's going on here. What's the big picture? What's all the stuff going on behind the scenes and the stage and stuff? What's really afoot here?
Been taken out, and tune into Johnny Delirious, and he'll educate you. And also, really thing that blew me away, Ingrid Castle, she does Immunize Wisely on Sundays. She had a guest on there Sunday, Janice Barcello. My God, you guys got to listen to that and get in there. She talks about circumcision and ties things to the church and to the medical profession that hides cancer. You got to listen to some of these people do know what's going on the station. Listen to her. She's going to have her back next. She said Saturday, but I think she meant Sunday. But it's Janice Barcello. I brought her in as a speaker like 2 years ago into my group because her video was disappearing with Josh Tolley. Every time I tried to share it with people, they said it didn't work. And then finally,
yeah,
I realized
yeah, that happens. That's happened with my media as well.
Well,
people try to share my stuff.
Now the censorship is way worse. However, there's more stuff on Facebook now than on YouTube. Maybe because Zuckerberg's working with the White Hats. But anyway, that's the answer to that. Whatever you see
Scotty,
in an
Scotty.
Airplane and over that. You know,
Scotty, I need your opinion on something. I've been watching this show called Fleabag. It's a drama about a slutty British woman, and I'm starting to think that's Mark Zuckerberg, too.
I don't know. I never heard of that show, Fleabag. Never heard of that.
Okay,
however, you were talking about something earlier. So your partner was really making some really good points earlier before I called in. And he didn't make the comparison that, yes, they're not holding the people accountable, but it's a group thing. They're protecting the certain people, and they're still, you know, making false claims. The police are working with the media, making up false things and all profiting from false. They're making fake tickets and profiting, and then they hire the attorney to come defend you for the fake tickets. And all the time, they're not prosecuting the real people, so they're all working together with all this stuff. But can't blame them. We're just as bad. How many in the public, no matter what your race or upbringing is, will grab your neck when you're given an opportunity and make a false insurance claim? That's why.
Well, I'm going to tell you what my opinion is changing a little bit on this, because knowing that she is the wife of a cop and this cop was following her, I know she was speeding. I know for a fact. Anybody in that situation, wife of a cop, you're going
to
be speeding.
I wasn't relating to that story.
It's just an example. My opinion is starting to change on that. And to sue is to save face at this point. Because
well,
it doesn't matter
if you
came up
against
these
charges. Well, actually, to interrupt you, you did bring up a good point about white privilege also you talked about. There's a very good video from Dana Ashley, A-S-H-L-I-E, like the word lie, Dana Ashley. It's called the White Privilege They Hid from History, or some sort of title like that.
Oh, that sounds
interesting. You know, you're talking about, she covers in that video. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not sure of the exact title. It's something about the white privilege they erased from history or hid from history by Dana Ashley. Check that out. Check out Ingrid Castle's show on Sunday, the replay, 2 hours with Janice Barcello, and listen to some of the new Tesla biohealers that he's had for 6 months. He'll tell you about it. Listen to his repeats. He only does an hour now, late night, but he's on another program where he talks for 4 hours. So you can get his links in the RBN website to his website, The Master Survivor, and on that website is the links for the other radio station where he goes in much deeper than on RBN. And that'll give you an update about some of the other things going on, like Michael Jackson's still alive and Elvis is still alive kind of stuff. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Huh?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
No music either. Yeah, so your brother got it right. He's called it a coup d'etat. That's what happened.
Okay.
And they're allowed to do this.
Well,
all
I'm just glad Rev is coming
into
through
action.
With some more updated stuff, because rehashing things, it's just
well, I was
tiring.
Laughing the other day, you were talking about this fake trial with that guy that killed the officer was the cash cab dude. He's an actor. He wasn't a cop. The body that was dead was a freaking torso. That guy is dead.
Now, I've heard you say that before,
brother.
The cash cab dude, but
yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, that's not the guy on trial. It's like it's a fake Biden, and that's a fake dude, too. I don't know who they have locked up in its solitary confinement. It must be the torso. I don't know.
Biden looks really fake right now. Biden looks like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a rubber mask. That's why it's...
He almost looks like CG at this point.
Johnny Delirious said that's James Woods, the actor with a mask. But it could be doubles, too. I noticed none of them look the same. Ever since the 6th, I noticed Pelosi is different. Schumer is different. I noticed it the first day, and then I got used to it. But if you look at them all carefully, some of them are working that they have ankle bracelets. Some of them have been murdered already because of what they've done and what's going on. But this is big, and some of it really just has to still be secret, you know?
I recommended
some really good things. Please listen to that Ingrid Castle, and we'll have a discussion about the circumcision stuff going. She goes deep, okay? And she'll be back next Sunday, so you can maybe call in on that show and get things, you know, going, you know, where you group together.
Okay. Well, old Biden here, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm still going to grope children. I'm still going to smell their hair. I'm still going to play golf. I'm still going to nap. I'm still going to play Mario Kart. And I'll sign whatever these lumetards put, whatever documents they put in front of me. So that's the deal. As long as they keep giving me Botox and drugs, I'll do whatever they want.
What am I signing here? Which one is this one?
Well, the sad thing is that he's trying to wake people up, but they're so out of it, they're not waking up. They're sure regretting they voted for him, but they're not waking up.
Dude, circumcision is that's general.
You know, you have
mutilation.
To wake up a little at a time. But there's a lot of good stuff. I try to focus on the good stuff. That law thing. I got my own stuff together. I started doing music, and I got to do some law stuff on my own.
Well, thank you, Scotty. Thank you for calling in. You'd call in more often, brother. I love it when you
call.
Yeah,
I'm getting back. Well, I left when that Zoom thing started. 2 months I was into that every day. So now that I took a leave about 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm catching up with stuff. But, yeah, I'm back listening to the shows. Yeah, all of a sudden, I knew Janice Vasella when I heard her voice. I was like, because she didn't get to talk much when she was in our group. The lady, Crystal, spoke for a half hour. She only had an hour to speak, so Crystal used up a half hour of her thing. But yeah, when you give her a chance to speak, my God, she really went in deep.
Well, if you know these people personally, bring them to the show, my friend. Bring them to the show.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I just got this phone this week, though. I've been using a smartphone for a while that I couldn't really work.
That's awesome. Okay.
Now I got a dumb phone so I can get stuff done.
Well, we have no more time. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you for calling in. We have run out of time. Listen, people, here's the deal. We only have 2 hours to do the show per night, and I can't tell you whether or not – I don't think we're going to be doing a Red Pill Nation on Fridays for quite some time. The main host has got a new night job, so I'm just going to have to keep you guys alert when that might change and when he might be returning to our regular broadcasting times on Fridays. So, anyhow, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show with me, Host V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So please, educate yourselves.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sin. The sin.